You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. It's Tobin Arthur, your host for Innovation for Alpha, and I am joined today by Kathy Skinner, who I am just meeting and excited to hear about her company, NextGenPort. It's not NXGenPort, it is NextGenPort, and we're going to learn about this great remote patient monitoring company serving cancer patients. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Excited to be here.
Well, and you're coming from Minnesota, as you shared with me, but why don't you tell me a little more about your background before we get to NextGenPort?
So you're right. I'm calling from St. Paul, Minnesota, where I've been for about 20 years. But part of my backstory is related to my current vocation and why I'm doing what I'm doing today. My dad was in the Navy. And so I grew up all over, Navy brat. He was stationed in the East Coast, the Philippines, California, Hawaii. So I was used to moving every 2 to 4 years. But part of his story is that later in life, after he retired from the Navy, he got cancer. And so that's how I say cancer came to my house. And his cancer diagnosis, sadly, he passed away over 20 years ago. His diagnosis is what really set me on my course to work and serve the cancer community. So Navy brat all over the world, here I am, Minnesota, launching a medical device plus software company.
That's cool. Well, you are in one of the medical device capitals of the country. Many people don't know that, but Minnesota and Minneapolis in particular is a hotbed for great innovation. So talk a little bit about the company. When did the company start? What was the genesis for that?
So the genesis, as I shared just a moment ago, really stemmed from my dad's own diagnosis with cancer. And like many cancer patients, he had a chemotherapy port implanted in his chest. And sadly, like many cancer patients, he got an infection that landed him in the hospital. And that really set me on my course to learn more about the cancer journey and to work in that space. And one of the first things I did was I worked as a cancer exercise specialist. And so what that means, I was the first person certified in Minnesota and one of the first ones around the US. And I was trained to provide cancer patients and cancer survivors with an exercise protocol that was based on research. And think about exercises that help patients get their body back with muscle mass, bone density, managing pain, managing fatigue. And so I was imparting that to cancer patients and helping them through that guided process. So that was my first company. It was called The Art of Well.
Wow, I love it. That's cool. And so explain to people that aren't familiar, I mean, most clinicians are going to be familiar, but for the lay people and others, talk about the ports that many cancer patients have to wear. What's the purpose of that? Where does it go? And then as you kind of indicated, there's a high infection concern around these. Just talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So the idea of the NextGenPort came about when I was working face-to-face with a cancer patient doing cancer exercise. And over time, she was actually looking worse. She was pale. She was coughing when she was on the yoga mat. And there just was something that was not right. So she went back to her physician, came to find out that the drug that she was on that was fighting the cancer was actually damaging her heart. Oh. And so she had to go on beta blockers. She had to stop her cancer treatment. Thank God she's still alive today, 11 years later, but she's actually more at risk for cardiovascular disease than a recurrence of cancer at this point. Wow. So I was looking at this chemo port that was implanted under her skin, in her chest. And she was frustrated. I was frustrated. And back in 2016, I just thought there's got to be a better way. And so that's where the idea of NextGenPort was born. And however, I always knew that I needed to build a team around the idea, engineers, scientists, doctors, people in medical device. And it wasn't until 2020 that I met my business partner, Roseanne, who has a PhD and an MBA and 25 years in companion diagnostics and cancer. And she and I launched the company together. Our first thing we executed was filing a non-provisional patent. And the attorney hired a guy to do the drawings for the patent. Turns out to be our chief technology officer, Mohammed. So he was doing the drawings, reading the patent. He raised his hand. I want to do what you guys are doing. because he had a background. He's an MD and a PhD, and he'd been working in cardiovascular. So it just was this serendipity of scientist, engineer, physician, and then myself as the patient advocate and the person who's been on the ground face to face with patients, bringing that all together.
That's an exciting combo, and that's a great way to come together. It's a pretty cool story. So talk a little bit about what differentiates the port versus the status quo.
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. So for anyone who's watching, might push you to watch the video. This is a 3D model of a chemotherapy port. It's not exactly the same shape, but it's the same dimensions.
Okay.
And I use this when I'm talking to investors and doing presentations. The reality is chemo ports have always had this much real estate. Mm. And if you're not watching, it's just slightly bigger than a quarter and as deep as maybe five or six quarters stacked on top of each other. Mm-hmm. And then what we've done is we've taken microelectronics and nanotechnology and embedded it in the footprint of the port, and then also co-extrude optical sensors through the catheter itself. And so we're taking technology that's existed on the bench for years. It's called flow cytometry, and that takes images of cells. And what we've done is customized it, patented it, miniaturized it, put it in the footprint of the port so that when the blood flows past, we're actually taking images of the blood cells, gathering those images, pushing them to the cloud for data analytics and machine learning. And then the data can be imparted to patients that's appropriate, and the data can be imparted to physicians so they can make decisions about what a patient needs between chemotherapy visits.
Wow, that's incredible. So is it also capable of determining that there's possible infection?
So yes, by using a combination of data points, such as changes in white blood cell counts, changes in cardiac output, changes in body temperature and oxygen level. So think of a robust data package that we put together and impart that to physicians. We're really gathering data longitudinally over time that shows trends that currently is not a data point that physicians have awareness of or access to.
That's incredible. Explain a little bit about the protocol. So if somebody's going through chemo, how long are they typically going to have a port in? You know, what's the start and stop point for that?
Yes. So the protocol for an average patient, let's take breast cancer, for example. So a woman with breast cancer can have a chemotherapy port implanted in her chest. And the port is just under the skin because it's actually an access point where chemo goes in and blood comes out. And then the catheter itself is threaded through a part of her heart called the superior vena cava. And I know your audience is way more knowledgeable than me. So just giving you a visual. And so what a cancer patient does is she would go in for a treatment, but before they administer the drugs, they have to test her blood. And if her blood cells are appropriate, then she gets a thumbs up, a go decision to get the next infusion. Then she goes home for a period of 2 to 4 weeks, and she's largely unmonitored. Mm. And what that means is she'll have a crash, the blood cells will decline, and then over time they should increase and improve, and her heart function should stay steady, her body temperature should stay steady. But if any adverse event occurs, our value is we capture signs and signals and trends of that sooner, before a patient feels terrible and has to run to the emergency room and become hospitalized for an infection. Cancer patients have ports in their body for up to 2 years.
Okay.
And maybe longer if they have advanced disease. So think about new therapies, whether oral agents, CAR Ts, cellular therapies, and now cancer patients are on maintenance for the duration of their lives. And some of these drugs are so difficult to receive through the vein in the arm that a port in the body actually makes it easier to receive treatment and to also do additional blood testing as needed.
Wow, that's incredible. So let's talk a little bit about the state of the company. Where are you in the process? What's been done? What's to be done? And kind of maybe in the next 6-12 months?
On the technology side, we're working in multiple parallel paths. So think about the hardware that we've developed that's fitting in the footprint of the port. So that's a 510K. We've had that verified by an FDA strategist, and we're going to be filing a pre-sub this year. Okay. For our hardware. And we've also had verified that the software, the data analytics, machine learning, And reporting is also a 510K. Okay. So on the hardware side, what we're doing next is because we've miniaturized it, we've validated that we can track red blood cells, white blood cells, and cardiac output. Our next step is actually to implant it in swine models, calling it our Alpha 1, where we're not using medical grade materials, but really ready to implant what we have in a native vein and test it from there.
Okay.
On the software side, we're working out, building out more machine learning and building out our code. Right now, we have enough that's recognizing the cells, but there's other data features around body temperature, oxygen level, heart rate that we want to integrate. And so building out the software side and then market research, because we need to talk to more patients, more physicians, oncology nurses, radiologists, interventional radiologists, anyone who has a hand in implanting the device, reading the data, and then also engaging in the patient, because we know how critical blending into the workflow is for a device like this.
That's great. So you've got a lot going on. What, talked a little bit about the capital. Have you had to raise capital today? If so, how, you know, what have you raised? And then what's next to help finance getting through the FDA process?
So we have been fortunate in that we were accepted to an accelerator called M Hub in Chicago. Hmm. And M stands for manufacturing and materials and machines. So M Hub, we are a premier cohort in med tech device. And they provided funding as well as 6 months of residency. And our inventor and our engineer, Mohammed, is based in Chicago. So it was a really perfect, accessible fit for him. Great. So that allowed us to get to sourcing the microelectronics, the optical sensors, the bundled fibers, and also thinking about what entities are going, we can hire as the funding comes in. Yep. So to be specific, we've raised $300,000 to date in a pre-seed round of funding. Okay. Currently, we're in a seed round where we're raising $2 million. Okay. And we have several, several investors that are soft circled. We're also looking for a specific lead investor. And we have our line of sight to doing a priced round sooner than later.
Great. That's great. And are you doing that initially as convertible notes?
Yes. So this current round for $2 million is convertible note, okay. 20% discount, 5% interest. And if you twist my arm and ask for a cap, I'm going to say $6
million. Fair enough. So talk just, let's go out a little bit further. So as FDA approval on both the hardware and the software side comes to fruition, what are the next steps to getting this eventually commercial?
Well, we've been engaging with the leading port manufacturer around what commercialization would look like. It's interesting. We, as I shared earlier, Roseanne and I, first thing we did was file a non-provisional patent. And when that became open to the public, one of the port manufacturers, worker bees, found a sourced our patent, and then we've been talking to them for a year. And what we're discovering is in their market, they hold 80% of market share for, mm-hmm. you know, a regular port.
Yep.
And what they see reading the tea leaves is remote patient monitoring, acquiring data is going to allow them to have a premier priced product that they can have at the top of the market that doesn't cannibalize the bottom of the market.
Yep.
So what we're talking to them about is how do we integrate what we have in their infrastructure, whether it's sales, marketing, distribution. We really think that that could be a great strategic partner. Yep. The other thing that we see future is the role and the benefit we could provide to pharmaceutical manufacturers.
Absolutely.
So imagine a cancer patient or a human that wants to participate in a clinical trial. Maybe they live in a rural environment. Maybe they're from a different socioeconomic status. Maybe they're a different part of the world. And so by having an implanted smart port that's measuring how does their blood cells react to the intervention, what's their heart rate, body temperature, any other adverse events. The beautiful thing about our platform for remote patient monitoring is its passive data collection. Hmm. We've actually talked to several investors who understand remote patient monitoring, and they don't like it. They don't like it because if a patient has to wear something or charge it or stick their finger in it or prick their finger for blood, that adherence rate, that level of engagement is very, very low. Yep. And so literally, as our name implies, the next generation is implanted medical device, gathering data passively, not putting another burden or another nuisance on top of the life of the patient.
That makes a lot of sense. And you indicate that this company, this port manufacturing company, has sales and distribution. Speak a little bit to who are the decision makers in something like this. Is it the oncologist? I mean, who is on the other end of this decision point?
Well, like all things in healthcare, it's complicated.
Sure.
So the decision maker, it depends, right? So you think about, like, we have a working relationship with Mayo Clinic, and you think about, well, who's doing the sourcing for Mayo between Rochester and Arizona and Florida, and what's the best scope and what's the best deal they're trying to get for their different approved products, and Right. Their physicians carry a lot of weight. But then think about a rural cancer center or an independent oncologist. Then I think it has a different structure in terms of who makes the decision. Maybe it is the physician. But I've done enough business to know that if we don't follow the money, then we don't have a business model. Right. And one of my favorite parts about working with Mayo Clinic is the oncologist we've been working with for a year and a half now, from the very beginning said, have you heard about the nuns that started Mayo Clinic? And I said, no. And she said, their motto was no money, no mission. So I love to drop that line, because as much as we want to do good in the world and improve the outcomes and lives of patients, we are committed to finding business models, business strategy, business partners to make it go.
That's great. Love that practicality. So clearly, as you're raising capital, anybody listening that would have some interest in this ought to get in touch. Are there other things at this point, or is it a little too premature for other needs? As people are listening to this and may have an interest, what are there other things that you can, you know, use or tap into?
Absolutely. And it's a great question, because this network is very key to one of our other primary objectives, which is forming a scientific board.
Ah.
So key opinion leaders, subject matter experts. We were so fortunate. About a month ago, we were introduced to a gentleman who holds the original patents for the barred port.
Wow.
From 25 years ago. And so we've been chatting with him, and he's got so much historical and industrial knowledge to impart to us. So anyone who... our story is resonating, whether, you know, you work in cancer, you've had someone go through cancer, or the other areas are very future state, is the impact of optical sensors and catheters for other conditions, such as cardiac or renal. We see a huge opportunity to passively collect data. Imagine even someone who's in a hospital for 7 days. Right now, they have to get woken up in the middle of the night and get their blood levels checked and tested. And what if we could just be gathering that through their PIC line and they're asleep? Hmm. So there's just lots of ways for future state. So subject matter experts, key opinion leaders for cancer, and then other disease states.
Love it. Well, we have plenty of introductions that we need to make for you. And
thank you.
Kathy, I appreciate you spending some time sharing Next Gen Port. We want to keep the story moving. And as you guys are having progress, we want to share that progress. But thanks so much for giving us a good introduction today.
Yeah, it was great to meet you. And I look forward to connecting with the community.
Well, thank you.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.